I would like to thank the organizers for the invitation to come here and for the wonderful workshop and for the opportunity to taste the best cookies at this side of the Atlantic Ocean. So, or the Pacific Ocean. Okay. So today I would like to tell you something about polar molecules in one-dimensional optical lattices, in particular in disorder of one-dimensional optical lattices. So, as we have seen in previous talks, ultra-cold gases in optical lattices offer a lot of possibilities for lattice models. The simplest version of it is, for example, you have bosons. They move in the lowest band. They have some hopping. They have some on-site interactions. And this can be described by a Bose-Hubbard Hamiltonian with hopping to the nearest neighbor and an on-site interaction. So the phases of this have been already discussed here. In the ground state, you have the superfluid phase. But if you are commensurate filling, you can enter into a phase which is called the multi-insulator phase, which is a gapped incompressible insulator. So interestingly, and this has been also mentioned at several talks, you can actually map this in different ways, actually, into spin models and mimic spin models or try to learn something from the spin models. For example, the simplest version of it is this hardcore bosons, where you have bosons that they cannot live in the same site because they have strong repulsion. And then at sufficiently low filling, you basically have just one particle per site or zero. So you can say zero is up, one is down, and then you can map this into a spin, where this is a spin projection in the z direction. And basically, this transforms into a so-called XX Hamiltonian, where you have basically XX interaction and YY interaction. Yeah, so this is the simplest example. So for a dipolar gas, inter-site interactions become important. Yeah, so you have interaction to the nearest neighbor, to the next nearest neighbor, and so on. And actually, I will cut to the nearest neighbor, because to the nearest neighbors, actually, you recover many of the physics. There is some physics that you don't recover, like phases with longer periodicity than two. And actually, inter-site interactions have been already observed, not in polar molecules, but in dipolar condensates. So there was no talk yet on dipolar condensates. There will be a talk tomorrow of Bruno. But dipolar interactions have been shown already to play an important role in dipolar chromium condensates in optical lattices in Stuttgart. And actually, we have collaborated with the group of Tillman Fau recently on showing that inter-site interactions may destabilize a condensate. And actually, some funny things that can happen with dipolar systems in time of flight. So for the experimentalists in the audience, you can basically collapse in time of flight even if your system was stable in the drop, which is a kind of very peculiar thing that happens. And also, I would like to advertise the talk of tomorrow of Bruno on spin dynamics of condensing lattices, where they have observed interesting inter-site effects. But here, I would like to concentrate mostly on on these sort of lattice models. And here there was already some comments of what can happen in these systems with when you have this inter-site interaction. So you may have, for example, that your particles, if they are at half filling, they don't like to have a neighbor close by, and they prefer to be placed two sites away. So this is the density wave. You may keep this order and at the same time keep off diagonal long range order and keep it into the super solid phase. You may have interlayer superfluids here with molecules belonging to different sites. You may have self-assembled crystals, metastable states, and much more. And there is a very nice review of Misha Baranov, Marcello Dal Monte, Guido Pupillo, and Peter Zola in this journal, which I recommend. So in one-dimensional systems, you have the inter-site interactions also lead to very rich physics for one-dimensional chains and for ladders. And I don't have time to review all, so I will mostly concentrate on these two issues, in particular on the issue of disorder, and in particular I will be very interested on this phase, which is called Haldane insulator. I was planning to talk about simulation of spin orbital models, but I think it's better if I just concentrate on this, and I will just refer to this and to this reference, and if you want, I can comment privately on how to do that. So, since I am going to talk about disorder, let me mention just briefly how to do engineer disorder in optical lattices. So basically, you take a lattice and you do something with it in such a way that the on-site energy changes slightly from side to side. This may be done in two ways, which are not equivalent. One is to use speckle light, which is basically this grainy spots that you see when you shine a laser on a diffuser, like for example the wall. This creates a sort of quasi-random. It's not completely random. It has still some correlations inside. Yes, but this has been used to observe Anderson localization in the experiments of Alain Aspect in one-dimensional lattices, but also recently in three dimensions, and also recently three dimensions in the group of Brian DeMarco. The other non-equivalent way is to use bichromatic lattices. So you use a main lattice, which is creating you this main optical lattice. I mean, this is the main laser. And you use a second one, which is beating with the first one, and this frequency is not commensurate to that one. This creates you a quasi-periodic potential, or quasi-disorder, as you want to see, right? And this actually has been employed, especially in experiments in Florence, in the group of Giovanni Modugno and Massimo Guscio, to study also localization effects. So in this talk, I would like, first of all, to discuss one-dimensional gases at unit filling, which is what I will be interested here, and then I will discuss different types of disorder and how these different types of disorder affect the physics of one-dimensional polar gases at unit filling. So why one-dimensional gases at unit filling are interesting? So let me take this model that I was discussing before with these inter-site interactions. I consider an average filling one. And then I can do the similar trick that I was telling to you at the beginning of the talk. So I will map occupation into spin. Sorry. So if I have zero particles in a site, I say that this is a spin projection one. If I have one particle, this is a spin projection zero. If I have two particles, this is the spin projection minus one. So you can ask me what happens if there is more than two particles. Well, in that case, the picture breaks down, right? So then I can formalize this doing the so-called Hollerstein Priebe-Kopf transformation. And if I do that, then this Hamiltonian becomes this one, apart from some extra terms here, and apart from the terms which are larger than two in the field. So this Hamiltonian is a spin-spin Hamiltonian similar to the ones shown by Alexei. So I have this XXYY term, which is the same that I had showed you before in the hardcore, because this is basically the Hopping. I have here the Z-set interaction, which is given just by this inter-site interaction. And I have this term here, which is proportional to the spin projection in the square, which is basically given by just the fact that I can have more than one particle in the site. This is the on-site interaction, which I didn't have before in the hardcore. And all the physics will be given just by how big is this guy and how big is that guy. So what is known in a spin chain? In a spin one chain, this is a paper several years ago, you can have three possible phases. One is the nail phase, something like plus, minus, plus, minus, plus, minus, plus, minus. If this delta is sufficiently large. Then you have the large D phase, if the D parameter is large enough, so the name is not very original. Say this is the large D phase. And here you basically have something like 0, 0, 0 everywhere, but from time to time you have plus, minus, or minus, plus pairs here. This in the bosonic language, we will see it later on, is a very well-known phase. And then you have the Haldane phase, which is this thing which is in between, which is a sort of diluted gas of defects. So these plus minus defects here, which appear from time to time, are ordered in an antiferromagnetic way, but you don't know where they are. Yes? So the number of zeros in between is unknown. If now you pass to the bosonic picture, yes, then apart from the fact that at low interactions you will have a superfluid, you get a very similar picture. So the Nell phase is the density wave phase, so empty, W occupied, and so on. The Mott insulator phase is the equivalent of the last D phase. So basically I have 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, and from time to time I have pairs. And I have the Haldane insulator phase, yes, which was proposed in this context by Ehud Alman. which is something like I have 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, and then I have somewhere an empty site, and then the next in the row, the next defect in the row will be a doublon, the next in the row will be an empty site, and so on. So let's try to understand why this phase is interesting by having a look to what is called the string and the parity order. So a Haldane phase, this type of phase, possess something which is called the string order. So let's see what is this is the string order. I take two sites, like I and j, where I have a defect, because otherwise this would be zero, because the defect is 1 minus the occupation. And this here, this is just counting the number of defects that I have in between, and if it is even, it's 1. If it is odd, it's minus 1. So in this case, let's do the math. This is 1. This is 1. So I have no defects. This is 1. This guy is plus 1, this guy is minus 1, so I have minus 1, 1, 1, minus 1, so this is 1. Yes? I take two other defects, for example, and this will be also 1. I take any other possible state that I have here, and this string order will be still different than 0. And this is, I take the limit when this tends to infinity, and this gives me the order parameter. Now, I can define something which looks similar, but which do not have these borders here, and which is simply counting the number of defects which I have between two sites. So let's take many combinations, many possible Haldane states like this one, which are, because my state, of course, will be a linear combination of many of these states. I take two sites, and I count the number of defects which is in between. And since the number, and since the defects are moving, so to say, they are fluid, they can go through these edges here. And this means that the number of defects that I can have here has no defined parity. And as a matter of fact, the parity is 0. For the Mott insulator, the opposite is true. The string order is 0, and the parity is different than 0. And actually, for the state, this sort of cartoonish state for the Mott insulator, like 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, the parity is 1. Yes? But actually, the presence of these defects reduces the parity. And actually, this reduction of the parity has been observed experimentally by in situ measurements in the group of Immanuel Bloch. So let's see what happens when we put this one-dimensional polar gas with uniform bound disorder. So what do I mean by that? So I have this bounded box disorder here. So it's a uniform disorder, but between some maximal and minimal value, minus delta and plus delta. This is somehow similar to what I will have with the speckle. It's not completely true, but it's something similar. And for non-polar bosons, this gives, in addition to the Mott insulator and the superfluid phase, a well-known phase, which is so-called the Bose class phase. This, contrary to the Mott insulator, is a gapless compressible insulator. So if I have a look to the phase diagram at unit filling, actually this was worked already many years ago by Billitsberger and Ulrich Schwellberg. So you get the Bose glass phase as a function of disorder and on-site interaction. You get Bose glass phase, superfluid phase, and Mott insulator phase. And the Bose glass phase is going all the way around, and this is the so-called superfluid finger, right? So now we will take these two things. So what happens without disorder, which is this, and what happens with disorder and without dipolar interaction, which is that. And let's try to combine both of them and see what happens, in particular with in this region of values of the onset interaction, where I have this Haldane insulator. Yeah. This corresponds to, for the case without the dipolar interaction, this corresponds to this cut here. So let's have a look. These are the DMRG calculations. So this is the phase diagram, so let's try to have a look to the phase diagram. And let's see what happens there. Well, first of all, the superfluid vanishes for growing nearest neighbor interaction. This is because this superfluid finger basically shrinks down, shrinks when you inject the, when you have this nearest neighbor interaction. Naturally, you get the superfluid to Bose glass transition at Latinger parameter 3/2, which is something which is quite well known from Jean-Marc and Schultz. Now, other thing that you see here is that actually it's an interesting question whether the Bose glass goes all the way to zero between the Mott insulator and the Haldane insulator. Actually, this phase transition here is a Gaussian phase transition here, and the question is whether this line is actually a stable line or not with respect to this order. This is very difficult to address numerically, but one can address this problem with the renormalization group. And you can see that depending on this on-site interaction, which at the end of the day depends on the Latinger parameter at this point, which is a gapless point, this tells you whether you are going to have that this phase goes all the way down till there or not. Yes, in this particular case it does, but for other values where this Latinger parameter is larger, actually, it actually this line survives for finite disorder. The Bessel glass appears for finite disorder. Other thing which appears there is that the density wave phase disappears even for very small disorder. Yeah. So here there was the density wave, and now it's not there. The Bessel glass starts here immediately, and the reason is the so-called Imrima argument, yes, which was proposed many years ago. So the Imrima argument is something quite simple. I take my density wave, my beautiful density wave, like 0, 2, 0, 2, 0, 2, yes, which has this order parameter, which in the spin language is the so-called stagger magnetization, and I will have a gap for flipping a spin here. Now, suppose that I have this order. I take my beautiful guy here, and I do the following. I take one chunk of it, of some size L, and I invert all the spins. Where I had a 0, I have a 2 now, and vice versa. This creates two defects here, right, which increases the energy. But now the question is whether for my system it will be energetically favorable or not. The question is that now I have disorder. This disorder has an average 0, but the variance is not 0. So this means that I will have some anomalous regions at which I will, for my system, will be actually favorable to flip all the spins. Yeah? And actually, this variance increases with the square root of the length for big L. And as a matter of fact, this is what I may lose in energy, and this is what I gain in energy. So the question is whether this gains with respect to that. If this is the case, then my system will prefer to have a domain. And this is indeed what happens if your system size is sufficiently large. You get a formation of domains. The domain destroys this order. Yes. And the gap is destroyed because now the excitations are not simply just creating a flip, yes, but it's just simply moving the walls. And this you can move with basically arbitrarily small energy. So the gap disappears. So this is what is happening there. Of course, in finite systems, basically, you get a very small disorder, so to say, to get the. But this very small disorder is very small even compared to the initial gap that you had for without disorder. This you can check numerically. Then, the Haldane insulator phase survives, but its character actually changes. Yes. Before, so with pure systems, you had string order different than zero. And the parity order is zero. Now the parity order is different than zero. And the reason for this is actually quite simple to understand. The parity order was zero because the defects here were fluid. They were moving all the time. Now what happens in the presence of this order is that they localize. Yes? You localize the defects. This sort of disorder reduces the mobility of the defects while still keeping their antiferromagnetic ordering. Yes, and now you put two boundaries here, and these guys are not moving across the boundary. Yes, and of course you can cut it here, but this you will be unlucky, so to say. Yes, the easiest thing is that you cut outside here, and these guys are just half a defined parity. So the parity becomes non-zero due to these glassy defects that you have there. You get a sort of glassy Haldane insulator. Yes, so this is basically what happens in the case of bound box disorder. In the case of a quasi-periodic lattice, the situation is very different, as we will see. So this quasi-periodic lattice, so is given by this bichromatic lattice. And in this model, I can include this by putting this on-site energy in this form, right? This is the wave number of the main lattice, which is giving me the discretization of my model. And this is the wave number of the second lattice. So this is, I will call, the incommensurate parameter, yes, because I will assume that this is an irrational number. This is the so-called Aubry-Andrée model, or also Harper model here. Now, in presence of this here, under proper conditions, you can get an extra phase, which has been called the incommensurate charge density wave. This was first studied by Tommaso Rochilde and by Corina Colas, Thierry Jamarchi, Uli Schwellbock, and collaborators in this other paper. I will show several pictures of this paper. So how to understand this extra phase which appears here? It's actually quite simple. Your system is, this is incommensurate, but in a sense, you have like sort of rough supersites, right, in your system, which has a given size, which is given by the inverse of 1 minus this commensurability here. So due to the beating between the two periods of the two lattices, you will have something like a rough supersite. Now, for a filling factor 1 minus R, you can understand this ICD phase, this incommensurate charge density wave, as a sort of filling one particle in each site, in each super site. For a filling factor R, it's like having one hole sitting on each super site. It's the same. Yeah. And actually, as a matter of fact, you get, if you plot occupation and chemical potential here, you see the appearance of these plateaus here, which are marking you the presence of this gapped, this sort of gapped phases here, which are this incommensurate charge density wave. And actually, if you have a look to this type of fillings here, you get a phase here as a function of the on-site interaction, which is U0, and this is the disorder, which is for me is delta. And you get the superfluid, posed glass, and this incommensurate charge density. Now, if you go away from these fillings, like for example, for filling factor 1/2, you just get Bose glass and superfluid, this incommensurate charge density wave disappears. Now, interestingly, for filling factor 1, yes, this is the phase diagram, which was worked cut out here. And here you have the Mott insulator, superfluid, Bose glass, and here you have this sort of purple region here. And in this purple region, they found, they were not completely sure because of the numerics, that the, here there should be a, there could be a small gap, yes, which is similar to having a sort of generalized incommensurate charge density wave. It's a phase which is gapped, yes, but we should have a structure factor which is given by the sort of periods of this supersite. So, so I will now, for the analysis of the problem, now when I include here the polar interactions, I will take a situation corresponding to this situation here. Right? It's not the same numbers because I will take different incommensurabilities here, but this is a situation in which I expect to have something like Mott insulator superfluid, something, right, and the Bose glass. So this is the phase diagram, which occurs in this system, again with the MRG. So here you see this, so basically you have this Mott insulator superfluid, this region here and the Bose glass, and in, the, in this region here we confirm that there is indeed a finite gap, right, for the so it's for the excitation gap, and the structure factor is picked exactly at this quasi periodicity of the system. So now the in-rima argument does not apply here, so this means that the density wave actually survives for finite disorder. So and actually more or less is what you expect, just in without this in-rima argument, in a naive way, which is basically that when your disorder is as big as your initial gap, so to say, basically you kill the phase. Then you have this classy harmonic Haldane insulator as well, due to the pinning of defects now with the quasi disorder. So you have a look, for example, in this line here. You see that the parity order starts to grow, whereas you get a string order. And what is interesting is that this Haldane insulator, which before it was destroyed at the Bose glass, so to say, there was this sort of bubble of Haldane insulator which was destroyed. Here it goes into the ICDV phase, and we had a look to the gap and to the so-called fidelity susceptibility here, and there is no trace of having anything here in between. So this phase basically adiabatically connects to that. which is, this ICD phase is a gap phase, which has a string order and has parity as well. So it has both of them, exactly the same as the Haldane insulator, is the glassy Haldane insulator. So basically the glassy Haldane insulator becomes the sort of generalized ICD phase. And this is quite quite funny, because in principle, you could then do the following. You could start here without inter-site interactions, and basically go change your, the parameters of your system, create here this incommensurate charge density wave, which should not be so difficult to create, right? And then move adiabatically here, because you are protected by a gap, all the way to the Haldane insulator phase, and in this way create the Haldane strange order, so to say, which is this sort of non-local order, which should be not so easy to create experimentally. So with this, I would like to finish. So we have seen a particular example in which the physics of dipolar gases will polar gases will give an interesting physics, which is the case of disorder systems. And we have seen that actually the polar gases behave in a very different way, whether they are in a uniformly disordered lattice or in a quasi-periodic lattice. In a uniformly disordered lattice, you have this glassy Haldane insulator, which eventually disappears into opposite glass, and a rapidly vanishing the density wave. So basically, if you have a very small disorder, your density wave will be basically washed out by this enormously large region. This is why I was commenting to you that could be dangerous, the finite size. And quasi-disorder, you do not have this anomalous region, so you have the finite density wave, and the glassy Haldane insulator and the ICDB phase are seem to be adiabatically connected. So with this, I would like to finish, not without thanking the people with whom I work on these dipolar systems in lattices. So this is a postdoc, Shalom Deng, who did these TMIG calculations, and we had the pleasure to collaborate also in this project with Edmond Orignac, Robert Achitro, and Anna Minguchi. And I would like to mention also these people here with whom we were working in this implementation of these spin orbital models, which I didn't have to attempt to mention. This is George Jacquelli from Stuttgart, our PhD, Gao Jiansung, and very especially Temo Beko, who is the driving force in all these activities. So thank you very much.
Okay, thanks so much. Questions? So the obvious question, so if you include the full dipolar tail, how much changes?
Yes. So we have done calculations with the full dipolar tail, and it shifts quantitatively, yes. For example, the Haldane insulator position is not at the same. And actually, in their paper, Ehud Alman was taking into account the full to the second to the third neighbor, I don't remember. And basically, it just simply shifts the position of the Haldane insulator. All these arguments, I think that they do not, because basically we're working a half filling, right? At full filling, yes, at one, at any one. Of course, it will be very important if you take into account, for example, all these Davis staircases and this sort of stuff, but for this physics, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi. I was wondering, is there a typical length scale associated to the Haldane? Is there a typical length scale associated to the Haldane
this
phase?
This,
and sorry. And if there is a typical length scale, how does it compare to the, in your noise, there's a cutoff also typically, and the typical length scale associated to the noise?
So for this particular analysis, we did not have, so this is a purely uncorrelated noise, yes? So there is nothing like this. But second, in the Haldane phase, this is a sort of, it's a fluid, so to say. These particles are just moving all around. They are not, just completely local.
Okay, so I'm wondering, again, I'm sort of coming back to these length scale questions that I think are cropping up. You know, if you have K or B, it's basically a nearest neighbor problem, right? You know, which is what you did. On the other hand, if you have lithium, cesium, I know from my simulations, you know, you have to go out to five or six sites and you really have a problem with finite domain simulations. And, you know, does that affect your story at all? So is it really, and this is really kind of what Jura was getting at with this question. So just as a subject of discussion, I want to raise this. You know, is it really that these long range tails are nothing more than a slightly shifted version of nearest neighbor physics, or is there really something new that comes up in these long range tails?
Yes. So the question is whether you are able to accommodate phases which have longer periods, right? And in this case, it is could be possible that if you go at low hopping, you could get all these Davis staircases and so on. But if you do not, right, then I will say that the most important thing, for example, for all the analysis of, for example, some of these phase transitions, is what is the Latinger parameter. I was not commenting this before, but basically, the fact that you have this long-range interaction is just regularizing the Latinger parameter. And this tells you where and when you enter in some of these. For example, in your phase that you were commenting to before, like 1, 0, 0, 1, and so on, this is basically just the Latinger parameter, which has to be smaller than some value.
Right. Okay, yes, and I think I agree with you. And so it now, let's see, if we come back to your picture of correlated disorder, disorder that isn't perfectly disordered, yeah. It can be correlated, you know, on some shorter length scale and not on some longer length scale. And it seems like here you have a natural opportunity to compare the dipole interaction length or, you know, perhaps some kind of fall off, even if it's modified, as Michael showed, you know, with the actual correlation length underlying your correlated disorder. Have you thought about that? Does your correlation length have to be shorter than the dipole length or effective dipole length, or is there a comparison at all?
For this analysis, so as I say, we did not have a look to the effects of correlation in the disorder.
Yeah, I'm asking you to speculate. Sorry.
Basically, we did, but it's this quasi-periodic disorder, which is a sort of extreme case of correlated disorder.
Right.
But we did not have a look to correlated disorder.
Okay, you don't want to speculate at this time, huh?
Not this time.
It's a minor part from your phase diagram, but you always had a superfluid to multi-insulator direct transition. Now there is always this discussion by Boris Vistinov and Nikolai Prokofiev that actually all phase transitions in a Bose class are direct, have to go by a Bose class phase, that there is no direct transition superfluid to multi-insulator. So, is this an effect of long-range interactions, or...?
No. Actually, there is always a Bose glass here in between.
Okay.
So it is this... It's this finger here. It's going all the way
yes,
around.
Yes, yes.
This is basically something that... This phase diagram was worked in by Billy Svergat and Uli Schwellbach, and then there was... another diagram using quantum Monte Carlo by Prokofiev and Svistinov, and indeed with our DMRG we recover exactly, and this was a good benchmark of the calculation, exactly the phase diagram of Prokofiev and Svistinov.
Other questions?
Maybe one more
last one. So the phase diagram you had where you went from metal insulator to superfluid and then to Bose glass at small U1, which I think was maybe later on than that, was it?
It's in the...
So it's past that, I think.
This one?
Maybe, well, it was one where I remember on the left-hand axis, yeah, it's that one.
That one.
This is all done at fixed U0, whatever you call it, the on-site,
yes,
is it?
Yes,
and
yes.
If you let U0 go to zero, what happens?
Let's see. If I go to U naught equals zero,
yes.
At zero disorder, at zero on-site interaction, at zero inter-site interaction,
yes.
I have a superfluid to Bose glass phase, and this occurs at this value 4.
And does that matter what your commensurability is, whether that's true or not?
Let's see. No. No.
Because you've basically got a single particle problem at that point.
Exactly.
And the single particle spectrum in that model depends.
It's a pure effect of the single particle.
But the spectrum isn't always continuous. It can be various different things depending on the commensurability.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that way instantaneously or not, that distinction?
So what I mean is that this particular point here is a point in which interactions basically do not play any role.
This is
the same for all fields, as you can see. This is 4. This is this Aubry-Endre
But if you vary what you call Q1 over Q2...
Sorry, what?
If you varied, I think, what you called Q1 over Q2, which is the...
Yes,
whether the thing is irrational or high or irrational, whatever, then I think the single particle spectrum changes,
Yes. Because in that case, you are changing this here, uh-huh. And this is the single particle spectrum. So
it might not be a superfluid, or it may be a superfluid, or...?
Well, in the case of filling factor... In the case of a commensurate filling factor, you mean now?
No, commensurate, I think, is fine, but if it's incommensurate, then I think it's different. And
okay.
So for a finite system, it starts to matter, because in effect, you know, a high-order commensurate thing is in effect incommensurate at that point.
Yeah. I think that as long as it is incommensurate, it is this factor of 4. But I could be misled. But I think it's as long as it is incommensurate, it is this factor.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments people would like to make?
So if not, let's thank both the speakers this afternoon and the two earlier on as well. Thank you.